You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and Zero Trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.
Hello, my name is Christian Lees. I'm the CTO of ReSecurity. My earliest recollection of what I wanted to be is I actually wanted to be a farmer, believe it or not. I'm assuming not many people on this show say they want to be a farmer, but I guess I was fascinated by kind of like the heavy equipment, and like they all had this very unique use case. But that did not take place. I'm not a farmer now. You know, as a young person, I actually consider myself to be a bit of a late bloomer. For example, I did not go to college immediately after graduating from high school. I actually waited until I was roughly 23 and worked a lot of jobs. And I quickly realized, I'm like, man, if I'm going to get ahead, I need to go to college. Of course, like any other freshman, I was not sure what I wanted to do. I thought I wanted to be in medicine of some sort. A family friend gave me my first computer in college. And I was stoked, man. I'm like, oh my gosh. And believe you me, this computer that was given to me is like completely outdated. I believe it's like a 486, you know, DX. I did not know how to work on it, and I could not get it to print. And so I was forced to ask the person that gave it to me, like, why is it not printing, you know? And I marveled. Within like 10 seconds, he's like, oh, dude, you just gotta hit F10. And I'm like, really? But it was at that moment where I'm like, oh, this is something good. I immediately went to computer science, and I've never looked back. I was actually offered a job from IBM Global Services, and I was like, wow, this is like three times more than I make as a student, or four times more, living on nothing. So I was really lucky to go directly into the workforce, and it was, you know, the entry-level position. In fact, it was desktop support, but I loved it. I was so proud. From that point, I fully knew that I'm at the bottom, right? I got to climb. And it took me a while to find my way, but I was stoked. I just by pure luck in college, I was introduced to media outlets, and I knew that I wanted to work towards information security. So I put in my time. I worked and I got exposure to a lot of different things. And when I left IBM Global Services, I knew that I really had a passion for telephony or network engineering. I got offered a position at a new company called Level 3 Communications. I was on like cloud nine. At that point, of course we have to earn a salary, but I'm like, it doesn't even matter. I would pay them to be here and learn this and have exposure to this enterprise networking gear. So I took a position, and I primarily helped companies or individuals turn up their colocation services or their dedicated private lines. So that's really where I cut my teeth on network engineering. I owe everything to that opportunity. From that role, I always kind of followed my North Star. Ironically, right about that time, we hit the dot-com bust. All of a sudden it happened. 50% of the company was cut, and I was just thankful to have a job, you know? But I was forced to take a role in change management, and I was just beside myself you know, I'm like, oh, I'm so overqualified for this. But in retrospect, oh my gosh, by pure luck, again, I was introduced to something that is so crucial in security. That's change management, right? Understanding the impact, making sure that it's been burned in. To this day, I think it's change management is a very difficult thing for organizations to comply with or do successfully. Listen, at that time, I was just kind of like really bummed out. I'm like, wow, I took a wrong turn. What happened? But like everything else, this too passes, right? Stay neutral, stay calm, keep working upwards and onwards. And sure enough, everything stabilized. And I was just by pure luck, again, recruited in level 3 to security engineering. Took a role as security engineering. You know, I just kept hungry. And eventually, I took another role at TrustWave, leaving my favorite place on earth, level 3 communications. And even TrustWave, you know, I found myself all of a sudden, I'm like, did I make another wrong turn? Because I was really just focusing on PCI compliance for Fortune 100 brands and kind of a hybrid of pen testing, right? So my job was to grind on the infrastructure and convey to the brand, why are they not PCI compliant? And it was just grinding on infrastructure over and over. I mean, I could spend 3 or 4 days just finessing some sort of cross-site scripting, knowing it's there. Sometimes you don't find it, and sometimes you do. From TrustWave, it was the banking collapse in 2010, and I took a position at InfoArmor, and I was like delighted I was going to be the CISO. Shortly after taking the job, we lost our largest client, essentially under a seed fund from WaMu. And I was like, wow, oh, did I make another mistake? But it turned out, like, it was amazing. Like, what a great opportunity. I went to InfoArmor, it was like Greenfields. I became the CISO and help diversify the products and offer largely dark web alerts. For some reason, when I came on at InfoArmor as a CISO, I just felt not afraid of anything. And I would pick up the phone and just explore opportunities with companies, you know, and learn, like, you know, what's going on. And fortunate enough to be able to apply that to our products. And, you know, hopefully it made a difference. If I get 50% of what I want, I'm lucky. You don't always get what you want. And when you don't get what you want, it doesn't mean it's over. For those of us that are pursuing a career in information security, I always found it kind of interesting that, gosh, when you get there, there's so many flavors of security. Are you focused on web application security? Are you focused on network security? There's just so many different layers of security. And just so find what it is that you love and go after it. And don't let anyone be a naysayer. And use every moment you have and every opportunity to the best of your ability. It's not always textbook. Define friction points in it. You may join security field not knowing what you're going to do, but by being that curious person and breaking things and putting it back together, you'll find you're the right way. And just never stop being curious. There's just not enough of us. Understand that you have to cut your teeth on things, and sometimes you get stuff that you don't really want to do. You might think you're better, but just do it really well, and the world will be your oyster.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.